Hey there, Hoops fans.
How you doing?
It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for the final regular season edition of the NBA Takedown Show. I can't believe we're here already. Yesterday that we were chilling with Monica McNutt. I forget what even was the gimmick that we were doing for that show. I think we were looking at Eastern Conference over-unders, if memory serves. In any case, that seems like freaking yesterday. And here we are. The playoffs are on the doorstep, and we are here to talk about lots of things. And I will say hi first to Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
My man, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready for, as we were just kind of alluding to before we went on air, I'm feeling ready for the regular season to be done. It feels like it's been about 6 weeks since I've been ready for this regular season to be done.
Yeah, I the discourse alone has made me want to punt sports into the sun. So I'm ready.
Sean, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I do disagree with you because that Monica McNutt interview show we did felt like 4 years ago, because this season has just been, you know, I tell everyone, if you ever want to be a content creator in any space, but especially in sports, there's a level of commitment that you have to have and that you have to do this. Like baseball content creators, God bless you, because
I don't know how to do it.
Andrew Claudio, God bless you, because I can't do that 162 times.
Fantasy baseball players too. Like,
dog,
bro,
I gave that up in 2008. Like, I cannot play fantasy baseball. I can't even play fantasy basketball.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
No, I suck at all fantasy. As you know from fantasy football, making Game Fest, I should not play any fantasy sports. That's all there is to it. Yeah, man. So let's get into it. We got a lot to get to. We will start, as we always do, to see if anybody has any takes they want to get off, and then we'll get into the show.
2-1-0 Ignition. Liftoff.
My only take is that Knicks fans need to lay off Mike Breen. That's literally the only take that I have to start the show, but I'll just leave that. Jeff, you got anything you want to start off with?
Respond to what's being said, not what you heard or what you think is being said.
Mm.
Think twice, speak once. Combine those two and discourse will improve exponentially. But then we may be out of a job. So, tomato, tomato.
Listen, I don't know. Is that worry you more, or does AI worry you more? That's a different podcast, but
yes.
Yes, that's the correct
answer. But don't you know why AI worries me? The same way subprime loans worried me, and I didn't even know what they were.
Hmm. I think there's always going to be a market for people to say shit. It's a question of, is there going to be more of a market for people saying dumb shit, or is there going to be more of a market for people saying actual positive contributions to the conversation? I'd like to think I know which side of the fence we're on. Sean, you got any takes you want to get off before we power rank these 20 teams?
Yes. Jeff always says that the Knicks are covered in a way that is far different than any other team in the NBA. I like to take that one step further. The NBA is covered in a manner that no other sports league is covered. It's actually annoying now. It is. For example, the worst of the league is highlighted in a manner that no other sports league has to deal with. Like Saturday, Nuggets Spurs was a great game.
Arguably
the game of the year. But you see less discussion about that and more discussion about how the Knicks beat the Bulls by 40 and other tanking teams in third. Like when the Titans play the Jaguars in their annual Thursday night soiree on NFL Network, no, that is not a reflection of how bad that's not used to reflect how bad the NFL is. It's like, oh, they need to fix this. They can have this on. It's like they put the game on and people watch. You know, no one cares that the two worst teams in NHL is like, oh, this is a problem. But every league has their issues. but the NBA's issues are magnified on a scale far bigger than any other league. And this, and that includes baseball, which had games that lasted 4 hours in June for no reason. And it's just becoming like, I'm seeing through it now. And I was one of those people that loved to complain about the NBA all the time. And then you realize that there's just the punishment. And when I say punishment, I mean the discourse, the outrage does not fit the crime.
So the funniest part of this is that you had two of the, I don't want to say two of the better stories in the NBA right now, but like two pretty good stories, one of which we're going to get into in a bit when we talk Rookie of the Year. Two of them are happening for teams that are not going to make the postseason, between Cooper Flagg or putting up some numbers that, like, mm-hmm. you know, we haven't really seen a teenager ever put up. And then got to give some love to the New Orleans Pelicans, who, like, I had Pelicans Magic on last night because I'm a sick person. But like that was a really good competitive game for like the vast majority of it. And then the Magic pulled away at the end, but like the Pelicans are a team that has no business being any good. And they've been 500 for like 2 months. I think to your point though, the reason why this is being covered differently is it's the combination of teams trying to lose, which doesn't seemingly happen as much in the NFL, if at all. But at the same time, you know, here's the other part of it. It happens in baseball a lot when teams like call up their prospects late in the year. Like those kids are not helping winning baseball games. But at the same time, it's like, oh, you're giving the fans something. You're giving them a chance to see the next crop of talent, which is theoretically a positive. In the NBA, it's not like these bad teams are calling up like their next generation of players. They're merely playing guys that are not going to be on the next version of the good team in order to get the guy who is going to be on the next version of the good team. So I think that's the difference.
Sure. Because it's not just tanking. It's like, it's what's another example?
I got a good one for you. I'm with you. The Pacific Division in the NHL is probably the worst race they've had in the last decade. Like, imagine if the East and Western Conference play-in race. Actually,
hold on, I'm pulling up the NHL Western, standings.
Because the
right
Western
now.
Conference play-in race stinks, right? They got a bunch of under 500 teams. Now imagine that, but a whole division.
I'm looking at it right now. So it looks like the Edmonton Oilers are in first.
Yes. Yes. For a while, it was like if you expand to the playoff race with them, like the Oilers are in first with 87 points compared to the Avalanche in the Central that are beating them by almost 20 something points.
I see. Okay.
So let's go cross sports. I remember there was a time where the NFC South, 6-9. Shout out to what's my man from the Titans, Sean? Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Mr. 7-9 coach.
Mr. 7-9. That would have got you in the playoffs. 6-10 one year got you in the playoffs in the NFC South, right? And what you hear is, and this is before they went to 17 games. This was a few years ago. But you hear more so, oh, this is bad, but who's gonna win? As opposed to the highlight, like the emphasis on the worst of the league. And this has been happening for generations. There's too much defense. There's too much offense. There's too much this. Like everybody, the optimization effect is affecting the NBA more than any other sport, where people feel the need to break things and create fast and constantly tweak something that at least 80-something percent of it does not need to be tweaked to the level that it's being magnified.
Can I give you a theory?
Yes.
Putting even aside the fact that the NFL has an inherent... Because really, it's like this: the NFL is one sport, and then there's all the other sports, and all the other sports are like fighting over second place. The NFL has a monopoly on one day of the week, and gambling obviously is a much bigger part of the NFL than it is for other sports. But even putting that aside, I think the problem is that in the NFL, coming down the stretch of the regular season, you are going to almost inevitably, week 13, week 14, week 15, 16, so on and so forth, going to get matchups between, like massive matchups that have massive postseason implications, the whole thing. You get the same thing in the NBA. Like, for instance, Spurs Nuggets. Not only was it a great game, but that had massive postseason implications for both teams. But because there is a perception that the NBA regular season does not matter, and that seeding doesn't matter and standings ultimately don't matter heading into the playoffs, people were like, oh, okay, it was a good game. Why am I caring? Like, the casual fan was not going to make that appointment viewing, which then gets into issues of, like, shouldn't we just be appreciating great games for great games aside from anything else? But that's a whole nother.
And who perpetuates that?
Well, that's
the regular season doesn't matter.
That's the question.
Because do believe Roger Goodell, you want to talk about punting into the sun. Roger Goodell would shoot studio teams, whole yes. studio teams into, they'd be right up there with Artemis. They'd be right up there with Artemis if they were trashing the league the way the media ecosystem was doing it to the NBA.
It's very different.
It's the shield over everything, brother.
So, John, what you said about things being taken away in the NBA in terms of as compared to things being added in MLB down the stretch, that's true. What I'm saying is this even goes to the 65 game rule. And we discussed this on the town hall, the KFS town hall last week.
Yes.
The fact that to Jeff's point, the media helped perpetuate this idea that players are handing in PTO slips and just taking days off and going on vacation when it was really just the old management thing was really two guys. It was who were both legitimately hurt. Like Kawhi Leonard's had leg issues
and
since 2019. And the other guy, Joel Embiid, who say less, right? And
say a lot less.
They have allowed this perception to be like, oh, and I've said this for years, load management is a team issue. It's not a player issue, but they allowed the narrative to say like, oh, these players are taking days off. How are we going to fix it? All right. Instead of telling the teams to be better, we're going to institute this stupid threshold, which is always going to backfire and charge the players and say, you want to get your money? Then you gotta play. And now we have dudes like Halliburton, who was playing 20 minutes a game for like 3 weeks, so he can be eligible for only the NBA so he can get paid. That's not fair to him. Now you have players who are legitimately hurt playing more. But to your point, Jeff, every decade is a crisis in the NBA. Every problem is a fucking crisis. Every year, every decade, every year. And other sports do not have this. No one thinks the NFL stinks because the Browns can't get out of their own way. Nobody.
Well,
and arguably the one thing that you thought would doom baseball actually brought fans back. If it wasn't for steroids, baseball might be what pickleball is now, a country club sport, or rugby. Because remember, that strike decimated the MLB. Decimated the MLB to the point where they had to innovate to keep people involved. And if it wasn't for Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa getting their Balco on, where would we be?
I think we should do a whole offseason show on this, because I think there are deeper issues. I'm not the person to probably.
I know what you're saying, and I agree.
We're driving down the highway. Yeah. We see the exit coming up. So
I'm not. Say, I know you guys hear me. Say that for another day. All right. Let's before we power rank the 20 teams that we know are going to be in the postseason. Would anybody like to give any special dispensation to any of the 10 teams that are not going to be participating in the postseason activities? Floor is open.
No.
Jeff.
No, we're good. You already gave love to the Pelicans. I do think they found their stride too little too late, but they're an example of a team that isn't trying to lose.
Yes.
But they're not going to make the playoffs, but they aren't trying to lose. You're getting their best every night. So,
And I actually think they're not like the most intriguing team of the offseason, but oh my God, I'm blanking on who had this article. Someone had an article this week about like Zion played all these games. He's actually playing really well. And yet you look at the investment they made in Derek Queen and those guys can't really play together. So like what's going to happen with Zion this summer?
I saw that. Like it's like Zion's had his best season in years, but he might be on the trading block.
Yeah. And it's just, I'll be curious to see if there is a team out there that willingly looks at Zion and be like, you know what, we want to continue to make an investment in him, which I don't, by the way, think is crazy. Okay, we're going from 20 up to 1. These power rankings are going to be we got to base them on something, so we're going to base them in championship equity. Now, obviously, that's a little silly because there's a lot of teams here that have zero championship equity, but just let's play out the exercise. Let's do this. We'll go kind of round robin here. Someone nominate a team for the 20th spot, and then we'll vote on it and go on. So Jeff, I'm looking at you first. Who is the worst team of the 20 team playoff field? Least championship equity.
Portland.
I was going to say Portland. You know what? That's the right answer. Sean,
that is the right answer.
Okay.
Portland. Yeah. I don't see it happening for them.
I don't see it happening either. I am interested to see, though, because Portland and the Clippers, we should note, are in something of a dogfight. They're tied. They have the exact same record for the 8-9. And obviously, it behooves you very much to be in the 8 spot as opposed to the 9 spot, as my pen is not working. Sean, I'm going to skip to you. Who's 19 on our list?
The team that I see... If this is in terms of how likely I think they are to win the championship,
it's like championship equity, and the trickle down effect is like odds you make it to the finals, the conference finals, odds you win a round, like basically odds like you're going to do something of note in the postseason.
All right, well then let's go. I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors.
That's so disrespectful. God damn it. That's awful. You're a terrible person.
They're finished.
They were finished the day
what's named towards Jimmy Butler towards ACL, they were finished. Like, do you think this team can win a round?
Hold on. You're putting the Warriors below the Magic? I know, yes. Franz Wagner's back.
Yes.
Gold star for him and the organization.
There are a few teams I could put here. There are a few.
Yeah, and you there chose to put the team with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and you know, Steve Kerr and light years ahead. No?
And they're 36 and 42. What are we doing?
Because Curry's been out the whole year. Hold on. Jeff, you're not going to help me out here?
Y'all were talking. I didn't want to interrupt.
Sorry.
It's hard for me to put them 19th when
nostalgia's kicking your ass.
Not really.
Sean hates
Toronto
everything.
Exists, Orlando exists, and you know what? Miami exists.
Miami exists.
Wait a minute. You are advocating for Miami.
I'm not advocating.
I'm advocating for?
I'm looking at Jonathan. Respect the opponent. I love the Miami.
Hold on. You know who I'm advocating for here? I'm advocating for the fucking Raptors.
I was going to say the Raptors, but I was like, they are the seventh seed, but like...
Congratulations. No, they're like the seventh seed in the East.
More shocked to win a title? Golden State or Toronto?
Neither of these teams are winning a title.
It's not happening.
I hear you.
I've been
on Golden State is not making a playoffs for months.
Okay.
And you people laughed at me. They laughed.
Listen,
they laughed.
I want you to have bread in your pocket, so I'm rooting for that. But
clinched a play-in berth already.
Yeah, but they now need to win. They're going to need to win two playoff games because they're guaranteed.
Oh, to officially sure. That's
we've
what the
never
bet is,
seen
right?
The Golden State Warriors losing a play with Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. That's never
true.
Happened.
That's also true.
I can't wait.
This is the third straight year to play in. You realize that?
I can't wait for the nostalgia bowl between the Warriors and the Clippers to see who has the right to get their ass handed to them in multiple servings by the Thunder. All right, fine. Because they would play the Warrior or the Thunder in the first round, I'll give you this. The Warriors at 19. I'll go next. I nominate the Raptors for 18th.
I have no pushback.
They did it to themselves. At the end of the season, like they did it to themselves. Because I would have advocated for the probably the Magic in this position, but
you're up. Do you want to put the Magic next?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that's where we're going.
I'm fine with that. John, you have any issue with Magic 17?
I actually would put the Clippers before the Magic. I actually put the Heat before the Magic.
I think we're going some form of Heat, Magic, Clippers. I think we're going some form of that in the next three. So I'm not going to split hairs over.
Yeah, that's fair.
I trust Spo more than whatever the coaching staff in Orlando got going on.
I have the Magic have actively quit on this coach for the last 3 months, and
that's
I feel bad.
I say them.
I like Jamal Mosley. It's not happening. So Magic at 17. Sean, who do you want to put at 16? You want to put the Heat or the Clippers?
Put the Heat.
Spo at 16. I still have my himself. I still have my Heat Eastern Conference champion.
you know their record since 83?
They've had the fourth worst defense in the league since then. They can't stop anybody. It's not good. That's disrespectful. Okay.
Yo, Bam going from 83 to 13.
Like, dog.
Relegate the Wizards.
Bro.
Yes. Move
travesty,
the
Wizards.
Hold on. I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent. How on a level of 1 to the Browns leaving Cleveland, how much angst would be in the air if the Wizards relocated to Kalamazoo tomorrow?
I would say
DC would raise
Washington
hell.
Is a basketball.
They would?
Team. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For as much as they've stank, they are integral to DC sports culture.
Washington is a basketball city, and it's a shame that so franchise Seattle. Has been run. So we'll see. Yeah, yes. But like, it's a shame that they've been run in the manner that they've been run in. And that's I like to make a correction. Ben had 14 points last against the Wizards, not 13.
How dare you? Okay. So we have Portland, Golden State, Toronto, Orlando, Miami. I'm up next. I will go. Kawhi. I'm going Phoenix.
That's a good call. They're not winning shit either.
one of those teams has a guy who could make an argument for being one of the five best players in the sport over the last however many over the season, honestly. The other does not. So Phoenix has 15. Jeff, that means you're back up.
Did we pick the Clippers yet?
We did not. You could have the Clippers here, and I won't. I think with what's left on the board.
Yeah. I got to respect the other team I had was doing right now. But yeah.
No, you don't.
I personally do. I'll go with LA Clippers.
Okay. So that's Clippers at 14. Lucky number 13, Sean. I actually think this is kind of, I don't know, a spot where it's tricky. I know who you're going to pick here. I think I know who you're going to pick here.
You know me so well. I'm deciding between two teams. And
if you don't pick the team I think you're going to pick, you will disappoint me.
All right. I'm going to pick the Philadelphia 76ers.
I knew it.
So that, okay, true or false, the Sixers are the first team that we have named that, like, if somebody 2 months from, or I guess month and a half, whatever it is from now, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, that you would like be like, no, somebody fucked with the Matrix. That's not a real thing.
Who got hurt?
Not on the Sixers.
Who stayed healthy? Who's
Who's their supplier? Who's their supplier? That's the question I'd be asking.
Yeah,
I guess what I'm asking is that should we draw something of a line of demarcation between the Sixers and the seven teams we've listed below them?
No, because the Sixers' reasons why they're down here aren't any better or worse than any other team's reasons. Like, you are where you are for reasons. Okay. Say Golden State. Like, yes, Steph Curry missed a lot of games, but guess what? Steph Curry was drafted in 2009. I'm not surprised when he misses a lot of games.
Feels like Joel Embiid was drafted in like 2005, but he actually wasn't. Okay, I'm up next. This is tough. Oh, wait, no. Sorry, this isn't tough. The Lakers. Luka Doncic is going to Europe to get what done to him?
Listen, he going to get that vibranium in his hamstring.
Not playing better. Like, okay, there's another quote-unquote obvious team, and they reside in the Eastern Conference. Sean was so aghast at my take, he literally left. You think it's crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I think now with the fact that they suffered those injuries, which stinks, that they suffered those injuries.
It absolutely stinks. It absolutely stinks.
Given what you say is LeBron and the Expendables, yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Sure. Oh, we forgot about the freaking, well, this Call version of the Lakers had no chance. What I had some connection issues.
I'm saying though, but now's your chance. Call me out. Lakers above some of the other teams that are still there or below?
This Lakers team needs to be down like with Philadelphia. Like,
okay.
This Lakers team, whose best player was born on December 30th, 1984.
So crazy.
It's not what you want.
When you say it like that,
it's not what you want.
It's like, yo, they're
it's
best
nuts.
Listen, if Luka's back for a lot, here's why I feel bad putting them here. If they're down 2-1 in the first round and Luka comes back for game 4, then this is going to seem pretty silly. I'm kind of going on the fact that, like, Luka's just not going to be here for the first round.
They're going to have to follow the Mavs 2021 blueprint. The one where Luka was hurt and Brunson
for
the
first
over.
3 games. Yep.
Yeah.
LeBron.
All right, hold on. You know what? We try to stay away from hot takes here. I'm going to change my answer. I'm putting the Hawks here. And okay. I'm probably drinking a little bit too much Hawks Kool-Aid because I've been doing a little digging into like how real they are. That they should be 12th. Hawks. I changed my answer. Hawks 12th. Jeff, if you want to take the Lakers, you take the Lakers.
You know what? I will.
It's tough, right?
It's only tough because there's a team we haven't mentioned yet in the East, and I'm sitting here wondering, are we really going to boost them like that?
Oh, well, if it's not, I took the Hawks, so if it's, I'm assuming you're talking about Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the Hornets need to be above the Lakers for me. For me.
Well, with their current form, their form since the beginning of the year,
It's insane what they've done.
I'll say it's astounding. I don't say it's insane. I'll say it's astounding. Like I'm like genuinely shocked that happens because I know what happens when you say that you're shocked at something and
and
people are gonna jump down your throat. I put this version of Lakers. That's the big asterisk.
That's all we're doing.
If Reeves and Luka don't come back, then this is an appropriate spot for Lakers.
Reeves 6 to 8 weeks. Diagnosed. Luka.
Oh, he has an oblique, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
He has an oblique.
Yeah. You better get that shot.
Luka hoping to find something in the Alps with the monks or whatever. I don't know.
You can see, like, he got to get the DDP tape around his ribs.
The problem with Luka's injury is that soft tissue injury, that's not going to go away. Like, he would have to sit off. For him to be 100%, he'd have to miss 2 months, which is basically the end. Like,
that's
like he's gonna be hobbled. Like it's cooked. That's like I have no problem having the Lakers lower than the Hornets because this team cannot win a playoff series.
Okay,
even
if they face the Rockets.
I know. I mean, if the Rockets lost to LeBron, 41, yes. Whatever he is.
KD might need like 5 more burners, bro. He don't need an army. He might need like 5 more burners. He might have to buy the apps.
What trade request would this be for KD? He didn't really request a trade out of Golden State, but he ditched the Thunder. He ditched Golden State. He ditched Brooklyn. He ditched Phoenix. This would be 5 if he ditched Houston. That's a 6th of the league. We'll see if we get there. Sean, you're up. Yeah, you're up. So we have. Right. So I'll just read from the bottom. Portland, Golden State, Toronto, Orlando, Miami, Phoenix, Clippers, Philly, Atlanta, Lakers. We are now into the top 10.
And we have, did you say Charlotte?
I did not. So if you want to take Charlotte here,
you know what? It's either Charlotte or Houston.
That's actually, you know what?
I will go.
Because
you know what? I'm going to go Houston. No, I'm not going to go Houston. I'm going to go Charlotte. Because Charlotte, unless Charlotte somehow finds their way to this. No, actually, no, I'm not going to say that because they'll be playing.
I was going to say, where are you going with the Charlotte?
I was like, Charlotte mathematically can get to the sixth seed. They mathematically can get to the fifth seed. I don't see that happening. Houston has been the Western Conference version of the Raptors in terms of playoff positioning for 2 months. Give me Houston. I can't believe I'm taking Houston over Charlotte, but
I would take Houston. So I have no issue with it.
All right. Houston it is.
All right. You're taking Houston. I will take. Shit, I guess I have to take Charlotte. Yeah, I can't take anybody else on this show. I'll take the Hornets here. Damn. Shout out to Buzz City.
Listen. What are they from the bottom? 10 from the bottom?
No, they're in ninth. So they're what?
They're ninth. Okay, yeah. They're ninth. All right, see, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that 4 months ago?
Look, statistically, they're the best team in the league for more than 3 months. That's more than half a season. The best. You know, and it's like, and best offense, fourth best defense. It's not like they're doing it all with offense or all with defense. It's like they are. The starting lineup is the best freaking net rating that we've seen from any five man group to have that many minutes in, like, I don't know, very long time. So congratulations, Charlotte. We'll see if nine's too low. Jeff, you are up next with now
eighth.
This is eighth.
I got a team I would put right here so bad. I want to see if Jeff picks.
I think I got him too.
I think it's obvious. We might have to
start some discourse. I'm just looking at something real quick before. I just want to see. Oh yeah, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Bingo.
So, the Cavs, without Evan Mobley and without Jared Allen, that was a 4-point game against the Pacers. Like, I don't even know what letter of the alphabet you have to go up to, because they had no Siakam, no Zubac, no Nembhard, no Nesmith, no, who am I forgetting?
And I think Jayhawks.
Wait, so a top 4 seed was in a dogfight with a tanking team?
Yes. Yes.
And how much did they win by? They won by like 7, right?
They ended up winning by about 10 or 11 points, but like it was a 4-point game with about 5 or 6 minutes left.
Damn, I wonder what their process was like. Were the starters like efficient? Like, how was their bench?
Jesus, you guys are. I'm looking at how this board is shaking out. You guys are about to do the nastiest thing to me. All right, Jeff takes Cleveland at 8. Sean, you're up for 7.
I'm not saying I'm taking them here, but have you said Minnesota?
No,
Minnesota hasn't been said yet.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to take Minnesota. Do I want to be bloody disrespectful?
I got to tell you, I have all as much respect for the Timberwolves as anybody, and I think they're the obvious pick here. Because as it is shaping up, because that loss that they had last night basically solidifies them as the sixth seed, which, unless you think the Lakers are going to hang on at 3, which is possible but unlikely, you're looking at the Wolves needing to go through the Nuggets, the Spurs, and the Thunder to make the finals and then face whoever the hell comes out of the East.
That road isn't as, especially the first two rounds, because Minnesota was built to beat Denver. They were built to beat Denver.
Okay.
And then what have we been talking about all for the last 3-4 weeks about this team in San Antonio that has as many playoff wins as I do is now just going to like go to the finals, right? I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying it's not. Now, obviously, the Thunder, right?
We should say Jade McDaniels, everybody just assumes he's going to be back for the playoffs. He's not day-to-day. He's week-to-week.
All right. So the team I want to put, the team I was thinking about putting here, and I'm glad you brought up the concept of him, someone being back for the playoffs. Number one in Detroit. When is he coming back?
Oh my God. You're not going to put the freaking Pistons at seven.
Okay. Again.
Wait, would this be under the T-Wolves?
Yes. That's what he's talking about doing.
No, if number one if number one for the Pistons doesn't play,
yes, but they so okay.
Who would have a better chance of winning a first round series? The Pistons of no Cade or Minnesota?
I can't even fucking say it. I'm saying Detroit. I can't tell you how impressed I've been with their stretch of games since KD's gone out. I know they've lost to like the best teams they've played, and they've beaten teams that are not great, but like they just go out there and they do what they do. And we'll, you know, Durin may come up later when we give out most improved, but
If you're gonna give me, oh, Jaden McDaniels is week to week, but I can't bring up Kay Cunningham.
No, I'm assuming I'm assuming Kay is gonna be back at some point during the first round. But maybe I shouldn't assume that.
Here's a good question: if the Timberwolves play the Lakers and the Pistons play the Hornets in the first round, who do we think without Cade?
Yes.
Who do we think? Cade. Has the easier path to the second round?
The Wolves, easily.
That doesn't mean that Detroit won't beat them.
I'm saying, if we're really talking about championship equity, I really do think the Pistons, like...
We're going to ignore the team that's made the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row.
Wait, hold on. We don't need to... Jeff, who would you put here? The Wolves or some other team?
See, this is where it starts to get really nasty with takery.
We can have a veto of Sean. If me and you agree to put the Wolves here, then it doesn't matter what Sean thinks.
I can't put the Pistons there. I don't think I can put anybody else. I would put the Wolves there.
All right, I vote for the Wolves.
But I will say what Sean is saying isn't as crazy as it sounds, but they have shown without Cade, they still play to their identity.
Yes.
And their other guys are stepping up. I don't know where them threes are going to come from. If them threes are going to fall like that in the playoffs, I do think if they get the wrong team in the first round and Cade don't come back, be shocked if they're out of there.
Yeah. And it would be Charlotte. We'll see where Charlotte lands. I went through a scenario last night, just playing out the rest of the season where I think Charlotte could very easily end up in the sixth seed, to say nothing of the seventh seed. So I don't think it's anything but a fait accompli that the Hornets will be the eighth seed. So that's why. Okay. The Wolves are going here at seven. Jeff next to nominate a team at six.
Am I or is it you? Oh, we're going like snake.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. It's me. Sorry. This is the championship equity power rankings, right? Jesus. I hate everything about this.
This is your idea.
Your idea. What do we got? Six teams left, right?
The teams that are left are the Pistons, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. No. My own fan base hates me enough. I'll put the Spurs here.
That's the right answer. That's the right answer. That is the right answer.
Haven't been to the playoffs yet. We're talking about championship. We're talking about championship equity. They have not been. They have not played a playoff game.
Listen, the Wemby for Clicks Industrial Complex has been rolling for weeks. So I understand your hesitation. I understand your hesitation, but like they've literally not won. They've won. Fuck all.
They have not been in a playoff game. Their best player plays 30 minutes a night. He has not been through the grind, the grueling physical. It's not a month. It's not 6 weeks. It's 8 weeks of fucking pounding, the likes of which that he is just. I'm sorry. He has not. He has not has had that experience yet. He is going to need to go through that experience at least once before he raises that trophy high above his head. That's where I'm at. Spurs, yeah. I can't believe I'm doing this. Spurs sixth. Jeff, you're up at five.
When you say championship equity, by your definition, does that only include this season?
This season.
Denver Nuggets.
Wow. Okay.
You know how I feel. I've been consistent about this for a minute. I don't want to hear ifs and fifths with Aaron Gordon. Heard you. I've seen his defense. I am a believer. Denver Nuggets.
They look good on Saturday.
They look awesome. I've seen teams higher on this list that have put them in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, their defense is just bad. Okay. Sean, who are you putting fourth? I think I know who you're putting fourth.
See, you've only delayed the disrespect. See, when you don't allow me to disrespect teams in this position that they should be disrespected in, you've only delayed the disrespect.
Now you can put the Pistons. Here's where the Pistons should... Honestly, the Pistons probably should have gone where I picked two spots ago, but if you want to put the Pistons here, put the Pistons here.
Can I make an argument to put another team here?
You were just going to put the Pistons here 2 minutes ago. Now you want to put the Pistons here?
You should have let me put the Pistons where I wanted to put them.
Who are you putting here, Sean?
You're going to get overruled for a second time. Who do you want to put here?
We're only talking this season, right?
This season, yes. That's for exercise.
Past seasons, right?
It's only for 25-26.
Whose car we taking, huh? Oh.
I'm voting to overrule Sean again.
John is gonna cut the feed. So I ain't gonna hold you. You know what's going in my spirit, what's going on in the internal battle I'm having right now to defend Beantown. Like, I understand. I know what your mentality is. We gotta have some respect. Like,
here's what I will say. If the reasons you get, like, for Detroit, we're just assuming things. We're assuming the kid will be back, and it'll be back 100%. This, that, and third. Whatever. All right, cool. I'm just watching the Celtics' best player. Is he still shooting tour dates? I've not looked at his. I knew he had a very good game the other day.
Tatum.
I will put the Pistons here.
Thank you.
But the idea that pushing back on the Celtics in this spot, and meanwhile, the reason that this discussion is being happened because of the pushback I was given for the Pistons, the irony is not lost on me.
Okay.
Because I just think that injuries matter, and both teams have it. Like, yes, Tatum is playing. Yes, he's not the same when you watch him. And to the point about the slog is now he's going to have to play. Now he's going to have to deal with 8 weeks, if they're lucky, of, hey, guess what, Jason Tatum? You're going to have to move in direction you don't want to have to move into every other night for 8 weeks.
Watch them get a bye in the first round, a.k.a. the Raptors.
Boy, Raptors team. There might be some shenanigans.
There's going to be shenanigans.
October, what is it, April 10th?
Well, here's the problem, though, is like it's because of how the bottom of the bracket's working out. I spent way too much time looking at this last night. It's teams won't even know, and because of who plays who and how many times they play each other, there's no way to know what shenanigans will have what result. It's crazy. All right, I'm gonna give both of you a chance to overrule me. I'm putting the Knicks at three unless both of you say that I'm wrong.
So you're putting the Celtics and the Thunder ahead of them.
Yes. I mean, I think...
Because we're putting Detroit in four, right?
We're putting Detroit in four. It's my turn to nominate a team. I am nominating the Knicks at three unless you guys both uniformly overrule me.
I think the Knicks can beat the Celtics.
I didn't say they can't. That's not what this...
I think what I'm saying is I think the Knicks can go farther than the Celtics.
I think both teams are capable of winning the title. But I could say the same. I think the Nuggets are capable of winning the title. I think the Spurs are capable of winning the title. I mean, I know the argument I just laid out, but.
I mean, we're chopping. We're splitting hairs here at this
point. Yeah, I'm not mad at you for putting that three. For objectivity's sake, I wouldn't overrule that. But what I will say is the excitement over, hey, gap year now turned into we're actually going to get credit for this year.
Sure.
And we don't got to redshirt it.
Absolutely.
I think that is overshadowing the fact that this Knicks team was built to beat the team that they're about, that it looks like they're on another collision course with. That last game of the season, I'm really wondering, because Mazzulla is mental, right? Mazzulla is
Wait, you're different. Talking about the last game of...
April 9th, the last game that the Celtics and Knicks play.
Oh, yeah, the game on Thursday. Yeah, sure.
Mazzulla's not tanking that. Mazzulla's not doing... He's too crazy. He's too crazy. They're going to play... Unless there's some real injury management, them two are going to... They're going to have that game. Huh?
Which I think, I think Tatum's not going to play that game.
So hold on. I will just say, just so we're all on the same page. If the Celtics, if the Knicks lose tonight and if the Celtics beat the Hornets tomorrow, the two seed is clinched. There's nothing else to play for.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm not even talking about it in terms of like, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But then the Knicks would still have to lock their three.
I still think Boston would play their guys because Mazzulla's is. Crazy.
Yeah, we already seen what it's been this season. So,
but we've seen them. We've seen last year they were playing their guys. They weren't playing their guys, and we whipped their ass. And it was like, oh, well, we weren't really playing them. And it's like, whatever. Like,
so here's the thing. I think that the reason why this even is a discussion is because of two down periods in the Knicks season, whereas with the Celtics. There's a lot of assumptions going on with what Tatum is going to do. And people are like, well, if I see him drop at 26, how are you going to tell me this team?
Dirty Dancer's speaking to this. Why are the Celtics better than us?
And that's what I'm struggling with is that how do you automatically supplant the team that beat you in play? The same argument that I've had for the Pistons are going to steamroll the East when they still have not won a home playoff game.
I think
and their best player has a collapsed lung, right?
Look, I don't want to turn this into a Knicks podcast, but I think it's as simple as the times this year where we have seen the Knicks' best five players play good, coherent basketball on the floor at the same time is vastly outweighed by the time periods this year where we have seen the Knicks' five best players not play coherent, good, sound basketball on the floor at the same time. Whereas we know the Celtics' pieces fit. Now, are they as good? Do they have the highest ceiling? Yada, yada, yada.
I was going to say, their top five is not no longer their top five.
I mean, it's a good question as to what is the Celtics top five. That's a fair question.
And the Celtics have a lot of, listen, all this Nemus Kata and Baylor Shireman stuff is cool against the Raptors on a Sunday afternoon in April. But
Kata ate Toronto for lunch and brunch and dinner.
That's all I'm saying, man. Vucci man in space is a scary sight. He got to shuffle them feet. All right. Yeah. Look, I'm not mad at it. I'm not. I don't have as much energy because this is going to derail the whole thing. Like to fight against it. I think a lot of stuff is going into it, and the Knicks could have done more in the last month to make this more of a fight for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I ain't mad at that.
But they didn't, and thus they are number three. And I don't think anybody is going to object.
Austin
two and OKC one. Okay, great. That was useful exercise. I'm happy we did that.
A great, great thought exercise. And oh, by the way, if the Caruso protocols along with the SGA rules are combined in effect this postseason, there's no reason to watch. There's no reason to watch. They are marching to back-to-back titles.
Sean knows this. What are their title odds right now?
I think they're plus 130. I believe they're plus 130.
So they're plus money. No, they should be plus money. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that like that. They should be plus money.
Mm-hmm. But I believe Boston is second at like plus 550. I will double check with our friends.
You know what? I got to tell you, I think plus 130 is the right number.
Yeah, it's the right number. But right number. To your point, Jeff, if I know Adam Silver in the NBA, it would not surprise me if they decide to make some tweaks to how the Oklahoma City Thunder officiated. Very similar to how they would let James Harden get away with all types of foolishness for 82 games. Then all of a sudden in the playoffs, and he's like, yo, this was a foul 2 months ago, right? Because I know the NBA loves drama, and they love to lean into mess, and they love to lean into that shit. But to your point, yes, if they allow Oklahoma City to play with 2x4s and spike bats, then yeah.
Bro, I saw Lou Dort come off the edge.
Oh, my God.
Like TJ Watt.
Dude.
Sack Josh Hart, and they said it was a foul on Hart. What are you supposed to do with that? Like, I'm legitimately asking, what are you supposed to do?
Well, because when you play a different sport every game, they're not going to call it in game 67 or 72 or whatever the hell it is. Okay, we got to hand out some hardware, and then we are going to get out of here. Starting with the MVP, we're not going to do full ballots. If you want to give someone a shout out, give someone a shout out, but we'll just name who our winner is. Jeff, I'll start with you. Who's your MVP?
I think SGA wins it again.
Okay.
The Wemby Ganda almost got me. I'm not going to lie. The Wemby Ganda almost got me, but.
Yo, it's true. Yo, the Wemby Ganda,
bro. The Wemby Ganda, Wemby Ganda, if you're from another country, but the Wemby Ganda almost got me. But because I can understand why they're saying this, but yo, SGA got a chokehold on this game, bro. It's like he draws the fouls, he knocks down the free throws, he plays good enough defense to where he's not a cone and he can affect it on that side. And then in crunch time, he goes on his own personal runs. It is what it is, bro. It is what it is.
If you have a different, this is to be clear, who you would give the award to, not who you think should get the award. So you would give the award to SGA.
Probably begrudgingly. I wouldn't be mad if somebody else won it.
Okay. I'm giving it to SGA as well. Sean?
The player I would have given it to is not going to be eligible unless something happens.
Who would you have given it to?
The dude I've said for like 3 months.
Cade?
Number one on for the Detroit Pistons.
You know what? I respect that a lot. But, I don't know if I agree with it. I respect it a lot. I really do.
I think SGA is going to win. Who would I give it to? I'd give it to Jokic.
You, really? Good for you. I respect that too. I respect almost any, unless Jaylen Brown is your answer, I respect almost any answer. If you say it's Jokic, I respect Jokic. If you say it's Wemby, I respect Wemby. Luke, I can't quite get there.
If San Antonio had won that game on Saturday, there would have been a lot of questions being asked. And it wouldn't have surprised me if he were first, because the Wemby Ganda, like, the national media is just itching to give this, put a hand everything to this dude on silver platter. I had Jaylen Brown third. I had Wemby fourth, which I didn't like, and then I had Luka fifth.
Wow,
I hated it, but also, like, Wemby plays like 25 minutes a game.
That's I was literally about to pull up the minute totals
he plays like there's 40 minute games.
but the problem again is he was playing a lot of these 20 minute games because he had to get to 65 games because reasons. Oh, God, that rule is so ridiculous. So.
Okay, Defensive Player of the Year, Jeff, it's back to you.
You already know. The
Ganda
got me. They're like, okay. Sometimes it's Wemby Ganda, sometimes it's facts. Like, he's just the most transformative defensive player we've seen in a long time. And I'm sure there's stats and all of that to back it up. I know, like, with the blocks, the stocks and all of that. Defensive rating, you go to it, it's just, he's incredible, bro. And the way that award goes, yeah, he's going to be the Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year, might be renamed. It's going to stay in France. How about that? It's staying in France.
I wonder how close to unanimous it's going to be, or, and if it was unanimous. I think it could be unanimous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
By the way, Wemby, 1,824 minutes, SGA, 2,201 minutes. And Luka, who may or may not be disqualified, 2,289 minutes. And who was your guy, Cade? Mm-hmm. 2,096 minutes. So Cade may wind up finishing the season playing more minutes than Wemby, interestingly enough.
Yeah. And Bill Simmons always talks about it should be 65 games or 2,000 minutes. So Wemby, Cade getting his 2,000 minutes is just more of a reason why that stupid rule is stupid. But
it gets even stupider when you factor in that you might have played 65 games, but you may not have played 65 games at the required 20 minutes. Like, so they don't count.
The whole...
I think OG is in that situation now that he actually has 64 or something.
Yeah, Popper
like
Popper had a good a few tweets this morning. If OG plays tonight, he qualifies because what Steve originally forgot, and then he clarified it. The cup final counts towards your games played for the number I just read for Wemby, that doesn't include what he played in the cup final. So I bumped that up a little bit. Okay. Six men of the year. We're back to Jeff. This is tough. I think this is the toughest race. I did a little digging on, and let me just say before I'll give you a minute to think, because the thing with six men of the year, you have a bunch of your typical candidates, basically the guys who score the most, having played most of their games off the bench. If you look at the on-off differentials in terms of who is like significantly impacting winning when they are on the floor versus when they are off the floor, none of them are all that high. Like all of the main candidates are all like kind of middling in that specific respect. The one guy who is very high is AJ Mitchell on the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the thing about AJ Mitchell is he has only played in 55 games, which and this is a bad job by me. I saw Mitchell's odds for six man earlier this year. Earlier today. And he's not going to make the games played thing. And I forget, is six man one of these awards that has the 65 game rule? I thought it was. I'm going to double check that right now as you guys are talking. But yeah.
I wrote down a question mark because I was like, I literally have no idea.
Yeah. One dude for me that was making a lot of noise was Keldon Johnson.
Oh, sorry. It's not six. It doesn't apply for six. So AJ Mitchell is eligible.
Okay.
The 65 game rule doesn't apply for six man of the year.
Not for six men.
I guess because they're coming off the bench, so they may or may. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
At least based on if 30-second internet search, which I think is correct.
Yeah, I think for me it would probably be. There's so many that's like this is probably closer than a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm. There's two names.
Who are your names, Sean?
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Reed Shepard and Naz Reid.
So Naz Reid is the guy that I'm actually leaning towards, partially because over my fucking dead body will I ever say a kind word about Jaime Jaquez on this or any podcast.
Thank you. I said the same thing. I was like, I refuse. Call me a hater. Call me whatever you want.
Put me 6 feet under before I do that. And then the other guy is Keldon Johnson, who's like, he's a solid, very nice player.
Yes.
Naz Reid is like instrumental to the Wolves. And the only part where it gets complicated this year is their defense when Gobert is off the court, which a lot of times has Naz Reid playing center, is big plates of poo-poo. But that's not Naz Reid's fault alone. That's like, you know, yes, he is manning the middle on those, but like, guess who he's playing a lot of those minutes with? Our old friend, Mr. Paper Plate himself, Julius Randle.
What about Peyton Pritchard?
Has not played enough. He has started too many games.
Oh, the Emmanuel Quickly rule. The same sword they knight you, they're going to good knight you with. So, sorry, Peyton. You started too many games.
The difference is that Pritchard is quite literally ineligible. Quickly was eligible for six man. People just decided amongst themselves that he was not eligible.
I wouldn't be mad at. I probably Reed Shepard was the other name that I couldn't think of, but yeah, him or Naz Reid, I think would be in my top two. I'd probably go Naz because I'm tapped into the Wolves enough to know he is integral to what they do.
Sean, you want to make it unanimous?
I'll make you unanimous because a quick search showed me that Reed Shepard started 19 games this year. So he is ineligible, according to Bill Simmons, Justin Termini, and the entire Boston media mafia.
I think Reed Shepard's had a very nice year. I think I'll give it to Naz Reed. To most improved player, I think the odds say this has come down to a two-man race between Durin and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I think some of our early favorites have fallen by the wayside, perhaps unfairly, like Denny Avdija is a notable name. Jalen Johnson has now been surpassed by his own teammate, which is interesting for this award, after Dyson Daniels won it last year. So that's kind of fun. I thought about this. I'm giving it to Durin. I just remember the postseason last year where it was like there was a part of me that was wanted Durin to be on the floor against the Knicks as opposed to off the floor. And that was, is it serious without Isaiah Stewart? And I still was like, Durin is not, because he was such a minus on defense. And shout out to Fred Katz, wrote a great article about player improvements across the board about a week ago for The Athletic. I mean, Durin's been one of the 15 best players in the league this year. So he gets my award.
I would give it to Nikhil Alexander-Walker because I think going from a career 9 points per game to 20 points a game on a team with Trae Young for most of the season.
Not most of the season. How many games do you think Trae Young played for the Hawks this year? Don't look it up.
35.
Jeff. How many games did Trae Young play for the Hawks this season? This is going to be my funniest moment of the year.
20?
Trae Young played 10 games for the Atlanta Hawks this year.
Jeez. All right. Well, I take that back.
And the last game he played was the game against the Knicks, which was his last game played for the Hawks.
How about this? Trae Young has played half as many games for the Wizards as he has for the Hawks this season.
That's insane.
That's wild. Wow.
Oh my God. It's so great.
Wow.
Still, it's still a good answer, Sean. Jeff, who you want to give it to? You go off the board for this one.
You know, I saw an argument for Nemias Keita as being the true definition of what a MIP should be, right? Because if you saw Durin becoming one of the 15 best players in the league this season, it is kind of like WTF, but he still had, it's not like he came out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
100%. And that ascent coincided with Cade's ascent too, which I do not think are not, the correlation and the causation are equal, right? 100%. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I didn't expect all of that from him. I expected a solid play. I didn't expect all of that. And by all of that is his fantastic stats this year. And if you watched him play, he is the clear 2/1A on that team. And it's like, I didn't know. Well, Jalen Johnson, who? Usman Dane?
Well, CJ McCollum.
I mean, Onyeka Okongwu?
No, CJ McCollum.
Come on, man. Emeritus? Second option, Emeritus?
You think Quinn Snyder's drawing a place when to kill Alexander Walker in crunch time?
I mean, like, let's not get out of our heads.
I'm saying like he's
this award, man. I just be like, yo, who has the best narrative?
No, right? Here's the thing.
Me, it's probably is Durin.
If you want to give it to Keita, you know why I like that? Because if you would have said Namus Keita's name before the season started to any NBA fan or most NBA fans, it would have been like, oh, he's like a minimum contract guy, which he literally, I think, is on a minimum contract. But that was his perception.
Right.
Now is like, is he going to get like $20 million a year on his next contract? Like
he's racking up. Somebody said he was racking up DMPs last year. Now, man. You know what it would be like if Gigi Jackson was putting up Namus Keita's numbers that he's putting up this year? Gigi Jackson would be like, yo, he gotta be. And the team was like in a playoff position. Gigi Jackson would be at the head of everybody's list because he fits that archetype of an NBA Twitter, analytical miracle, next big thing, great story, right? Like he just fits that. So I
100%.
You know, if we're like, yo, somebody who came out of nowhere to make an impact on a team, I think he's one of those people that's the true definition of MIP.
I think that's really, really well put. Two guys that I am curious if they get any, I'm talking about like a vote or two votes or something, not being facetious at all. Stephen Castle. I wonder if people are just like, yeah, this is expected. This is his second year. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I swear I mean this. I think there's a possibility. I could see him getting a vote. LaMelo Ball. I'm not kidding.
He deserves it. No, he would deserve it. Like, stop playing like he stopped playing like a dickhead. And look what happened.
Look what happened. Okay, we got to finish up here. Rookie of the year. Jeff, you're first.
Man. Cooper Flagg.
Same here.
Cooper Flagg. Enough is enough.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I will not disrespect what Colin Knuppel has been doing. He broke records. He did all of that. But he doesn't have the same workload that Cooper does. And Cooper, he's making his case in the final push, like as you're supposed to do. Like he's doing things a teenager hasn't done. And this is the same league that LeBron occupied. So I'm going to say Cooper Flagg. Like, come on, guys.
I want to give it to Khan because I always am going to give more credit to the guy doing it for a team with real aspirations over a team that is headed to the lottery.
That's fair.
But Khan is like, Khan never has to, I mean, rarely has to initiate anything on his team. Cooper has to initiate everything on his team. So I think I'm very curious to see how this race comes down to that and the most improved. Clutch player of the year. I'll start this one off. I'm going SGA. Jeff.
Yeah. I've seen it too much with my own eyes. Like, take all of the fouling stuff out of it, or the whistle out of it. That man in clutch time is a scary sight because he just that step back. Modiora, yeah. that is a chat message from 2029.
Yeah.
That's a chat message from 2029. But
he's gonna get there.
Yeah, it's just he's incredible, man. He's gotten more clutch over the years, which is insane. More clutch.
It's like you're shocked if like a shot in the last couple of minutes doesn't go in. Sean, SGA for you, or going off the grid?
So I'm going off the grid, but only because I feel like the voters, I don't think he's going to win. I don't think SGA is going to win MVP and clutch player of the year.
Oh, I think
the
will.
Voter, I think the, I can see the voters being like, well, we gave,
I think he's going to win it. I'm telling you right now.
No, so usually, shocked. Okay. Usually it is the person who has the most clutch points scored, except for last year, because the person at the most clutch points was Trae Young, and the riders, the voters are probably like, fuck him. Who's next on the list? Oh, Jalen Brunson. We like him. So if the writers, the voters decide, you know what, we're not giving him a clutch player yet because he's going to win MVP, then I think it'll be Jamal Murray, who's second.
So SGA, 175 clutch points in 27 clutch opportunities. Jamal Murray, 159 clutch points in 37 clutch opportunities. Nikola Jokic, 149 clutch points in 31 clutch opportunities. And then after that, you got Maxi, KD, Ant Edwards, who was probably the early front runner for the year, and he's kind of fallen off. So you're going to go Murray. Okay.
I'll go Murray, but I think I SJ's probably going to win, but unless the writers do something. Like, Ben Kim Gurvey brings up an interesting point.
Jokic for clutch if he doesn't get MVP?
Yeah, that I can actually see more like – that I can actually see more likely than Murray. So I'll change my vote to Jokic.
If our friends at Fanatics could put up the line for SGA to win MVP and clutch player, I don't care what the odds are for that. I'll put some money down on that. And then last but not least, my favorite award – clearly, coach of the year. Jeff, who are you giving your coach of the year award to?
Ooh, man.
This is – so here's the as usual with this award, the fact that there are only three ballot spots I just think is brutal because to me, and I'm curious if you guys agree with me, I think that there are four at least four guys who, like, it would be kind of criminal if they did not appear on the ballot, but maybe you guys feel differently.
Yeah, I've heard the idea of an all coach first team.
Yeah.
Something like that. If you, or at the very least expanding it to a five spot. Like, I get it where you have like a, like some people said replace coach of the year with the first team. I think you could put both. Because if you're going to have an all-NBA first team and an MVP, you can do both. That's just my
unfortunately, we must abide by the current rules. So
Dude, I'm going to give it to JB Bickerstaff.
JB Bickerstaff, okay.
I'm going to give it to him, man. Like, OKC, you know, sorry, Dagnall, your success took a shot at you. my heart wants to say Mazzulla.
So that's my answer. I'm going
Mazzulla. My heart wants to say Mazzulla because no one saw them doing this. If you told me at the start of the season that the Celtics could possibly have the second most wins in the league, whether I thought it would be the Knicks or the Pistons to have the first amount of wins, I still would have thought you were crazy. Or I would have thought the rest of the conference cratered. So
yeah.
It's a more competitive East than last year.
So if you're asking me who has done the best coaching job this year, which is what the award technically is for, I'm going Mazzulla. If you ask me what coach has done the best job imprinting a culture on a team and that culture leading directly to success this year, it is JB Bickerstaff. I think they will finish 1-2 in the award in some order. Sean, are you going with one of them or are you going as you have?
I have Mazzulla one for the reasons that Jeff gave. My number two would not be JB Bickerstaff, though.
Who would it be?
Charles Lee.
Okay. So here's my thing. Between Mazzulla, JB Bickerstaff, and Charles Lee, I think those will be the three guys that get the three spots on the ballot. And that leaves out Mitch Johnson, who has the Spurs on the cusp of 60 wins, which again, I know, like,
it's crazy.
And I think, by the way, I think this is how it's going to go. It leaves out Mitch Johnson and it leaves out a guy who, like a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, you would have swore was, if not the front runner for the award, like guaranteed for a spot on the ballot. And that's Jordan Ott for Phoenix,
right? Yeah.
And they've just kind of, you know, they've fallen off a little bit here, but like, who the fuck had Phoenix? We're a week left in the season and they're in the running for a playoff spot still. That's insane. Wrong word again, but like, you get it. That's crazy.
Nah, it's shocking. Nobody believed that was going to happen and it did. So yeah. that's the sin really of this Coach of the Year award is that those coaches wouldn't get recognized. Like, honestly, Charles Lee, I think he had the most to overcome.
Honestly, if you combine the two concepts I said a minute ago, best coaching job and best culture, you might land on Lee.
Yeah.
Because he needed to overhaul the culture in Charlotte and do an exceptional coaching job.
Here's what I'll say. If they clinched a playoff spot, I think he gets it. The fact that they're still like in the play-in is an easy way. Yes. Definitely first ballot collaboration with
Ben Kim Gervey. Mike Brown wins most likely to collaborate. If only they like that award.
I'd like to give us, yeah, he's not going to finish on the top three, but I'd like to give a shout out to one Quinn Snyder.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Hawks have lost three games since President's Day. Three.
No, it's wild. It's just so funny. Like Atkinson won last year, right? He's not. If there were all coaching first team and all coaching second team, he wouldn't get either one of those. He wouldn't get a vote for either of those spots this year.
Mm-hmm.
Did he suddenly become a bad coach? I mean,
He told you what it was. It's the same thing we always say. He's like, "Yeah, man, we gotta get to the finals. The fuck? what do you think? Like, look at us. What are we doing here? What am I doing here? We gotta get to the finals before anybody talks about us any old way." Or in the realm of a real contender.
Last thing, and then we're gonna get out of here. One team who has the most pressure on them heading into the postseason. If you want to say a player, you can say a player.
Team-wise, I think it's the Knicks. Because, like, if Oklahoma City doesn't win whatever they won last year, if Boston doesn't win, all the gap year stuff and Tatum being hurt, excuses will start to fly. If the Pistons don't win, it's they're young. This is that, you know, they hadn't won a playoff series before. The Spurs don't win. Oh, well, it's the Spurs. They're young, yada, yada, yada. If the Lakers don't win, it's like, well, they're hurt. Like, it's the Knicks. Knicks won, Cavs two.
I would go as far as to say Knicks won, Harden two, Mitchell three, Cavs four.
I think it's the Knicks. I think we might be shortchanging the Thunder in this discussion just because you can't take any season for granted. Like, everybody assumes the Thunder are going to be fucking rock stars for the next 5 years. It could all come crashing down, as we've seen, you know? So, like, you're basically even money to win the championship. That's pressure.
But who's putting the pressure on them?
They're healthy. No, that's part of the amorphous nature of this question. But partially why I asked it.
Okay, if they don't win the championship and they lose to the Knicks or the Celtics or who the Pistons, whoever, right? If they lose, it's gonna be like, damn, they lost. And they lost to a team that they probably should have beat. But, you know,
but like,
They'll be back next year and they'll recharge whatever. Whereas if the Knicks don't win a championship, it is going to be an indictment.
Well, no,
and
it's going to be a referendum
on the entire organization.
That's why I said Knicks first. But the reason why I wanted to say, because two things. One, how about we flip it a different way? If the Thunder lose to the Spurs this year, then it's like, oh my God, this wasn't supposed to happen yet. The Spurs are going to be even better next year. And already they've toppled OKC. And then the second part of it is Oklahoma City, you know that owner's not going to pay out the nose to keep this team together. We're already talking about Isaiah Hartenstein might be go bye-bye because of that team option, you know, and all that money and all these other guys they got to pay. So, you know what? Like, I'm sorry. There's a lot of pressure on them. I don't care that they won last year. They should win again. But
does Denver, shout out to On the Break Pod, does Denver have any pressure on them? What about Minnesota? They've been to back-to-back conference finals.
I think teams that have
Denver's won, a good call.
I think teams who have won the title this decade are going to have less pressure than teams who haven't won it. Like, everything you said about the Knicks applies to Cleveland, because if Cleveland doesn't win, it's all right. We did all these moves because we thought that Evan Mobley would be here, and he's not here.
So
now what?
So the only reason I said at the beginning, team or player, I would almost say Jokic, because Jokic has the resume now of one of the 10 greatest players in the history of the sport. The difference between him and all of those guys is those guys all have multiple championships. And you have to go down to what, Jeff?
He doesn't care, though.
Well, that is, I don't really give. Well, fine, but
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying. Like,
I see what you're saying.
Sport of basketball, will look at him differently.
Yeah, if he doesn't feel the pressure, how could we have him so high in the pressure?
Right. That man cannot wait for the day he says, "All right, guys, I've played enough basketball. That's it. I'm out." And then he goes. Then he becomes the Michael Jordan of whatever Serbian horse racing is. He might already be that.
He might be. We don't know.
He's going to bring a horse to the freaking Preakness and Belmont, and they're going to win first place. That's what his future is right now. So it's like the pressure is, it's almost like the Giannis success thing, but with pressure and Jokic. It's like if they're not in the mentality that I have anything to prove.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, I tell you this much. Cleveland don't get past the second round again, that team is detonating. They got to blow it up.
What if? I would say, yes. I would, yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. Like, there's nowhere else to go.
The most, I think they're, so there's a lot of pressure on them from that perspective. And then this isn't quite put them in the pressure conversation. But if Houston bows out in the first round, I think they become the most interesting offseason team.
Do you run it back with Fred VanVleet back, or do you try to shake things up? Try to get Zion or something.
Oh, I was thinking about the guy you were just doing the.
Him too.
But
I mean,
they got pieces. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Sean, last word before we go.
Glad that the regular season is ending. It's been a long road. It's been a long winding road. Looking for these playoffs are going to be very, very fun to watch. If you are neutral, if you are casual, even if you were like a fan of a team, but you're not a sickle fan, like you're good. This is going to be very, very. This is going to be very, very interesting. There's going to be a lot of storylines.
I hope the play-in results break the way that like would make for the best first round matchups that we could possibly have. Cause there are some teams that I don't feel like watching play basketball anymore. Shout out to Sean's Orlando Magic. My God. Yeah. Anyway, Jeff, last word.
Let's get to the postseason, man. Let's get to the postseason. I'm ready.
I will third that sentiment. Thanks everybody for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. If you're checking us out on Twitter, be sure to either subscribe to the podcast or, more importantly, subscribe on the YouTube channel. And we will, we'll be back with the show next Monday, obviously with a full playoff/play-in preview, talking about what happened over the last week. We will talk to y'all then.